Welcome to Cloud Talk Radio, where listeners hear from business leaders about relevant topics from marketing to cash flow management. Tune in every week with hosts Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix and stay engaged with a growing audience of like-minded entrepreneurs. Learn critical business skills and get answers to questions that help you manage better businesses. Cloud Talk Radio, your business resource in the internet age.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Cloud Talk Radio. This is your host, Keith Enix. I'm so glad you're listening in today. We've got a great episode for you, as we have a really neat guest with us today. If you haven't heard our talk show before, go ahead and look at our past episodes at www.cloudtalkradio.com. We have a lot of really great interviews with industry leaders. Last week we were talking with Tony Lale just about managing your finances and budgeting and the five different types of controls you need to have in your business. And go ahead and just click on the past episodes tab on our website and you can see all those for yourself. If you have any questions during our show, feel free to ask us at questions@cloudtalkradio.com. You can connect with us there or on Twitter and LinkedIn at Cloud Talk Radio. Well, like I said last week, we were talking with Tony Lale about getting beyond your biggest financial hurdles. You guys can check out that episode after this one, or you know, you can stop this one and go to that one and check it out. It was a really good episode. Just a little bit of my experience and with Tony as he was helping our company become a little better organized on the finances, some of the different things you need to be more strategic in how you put together your budgets and stuff, and just some really great stuff. So this week we have a really good show, as we're going to be talking about the inner workings of a nonprofit organization. And I think this really relates to us as business owners, as we're, you know, we run our own businesses, but we're looking for ways that we can give back to the community or help out in what's going on. And we are going to be talking with a guy named David Russell. He owns a nonprofit organization called Emancipate Me. He's also a business owner. He does leadership training. So it's going to be a great episode, because he kind of takes that experience on leadership training and helps us understand why it's so important to have good leadership. And how to do good leadership, not just, you know, be good leaders, but actually three main things that are great lessons that he talks about that he's learned that can help a nonprofit and your business grow. So before we get to David Russell, we're going to be going to a quick commercial break, so stay tuned and we're going to be right back.
Are you a business owner or accountant looking to get an edge over your competition? Are you looking to save time as well as generate more revenue for your business? Well, then you need to check out cloud9realtime.com. Cloud9 Realtime offers business owners and accountants a fully cloud-based desktop of QuickBooks and business applications in a central location. You'll be able to collaborate more effectively with your customers on QuickBooks and discover more efficient business hosting tools. Save time for yourself and your clients, as well as gain access to the Cloud9 Realtime community, which provides you with information and tools you need to help your business grow. Visit cloud9realtime.com today to learn more. That's cloud9realtime.com.
Well, welcome back to today's show. We have an exciting guest today from a company called Emancipate Me. Go ahead and visit their website at emancipateme.org to learn more about this non-profit company who provides a interesting smartphone application called the Freedom App. I'm looking forward to learning more about that. It helps fight human trafficking by connecting victims to able counselors, law enforcement, and public people who are interested in fighting one of the fastest growing forms of modern day slavery for women and children. Well, I hear David there, and I'm excited to have you. David Russell is the one who started Emancipate Me, and be sure to check out that website, and I'm looking forward to gleaning some insight from you, David, on lessons you've learned from running a nonprofit. I know you're also a business owner as well. You have your own business as well as this nonprofit, and I'm looking forward to learning some of the inner workings of how a nonprofit works, and also maybe some insights on
Some of the pitfalls potentially that nonprofits can run into. I've been a part of a nonprofit myself that ended up not being successful, and would love to learn a little bit more why from your viewpoint. But first, could you start by telling us a little bit about your background and how you ended up in the nonprofit business and things like that?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, I need to clarify. So as far as the mobile app idea, we are considering developing a mobile app that will connect different mobile apps that are doing what you talked about, going out to resources. There are two of them out there. One of them's up in your area. I think it's called Red Light or something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's and true. Then there's another one down in the Sacramento area called Grace Network. And they're pretty good. And there may be, I think there's some others too, but those are the two that I'm aware of that are furthest along. The focus of Emancipate Me's Freedom app is to provide the 5,000 or so nonprofits that have 10 employees or fewer across the U.S. that are involved in some capacity of restoring survivors or rescuing survivors or, you know, working on this issue. Free software for fundraising. There'll be a slight charge, maximum $200 based on how much funds come through, but free, no upfront cost, no training cost, anything like that. And then free software for setting goals for their volunteers and their employees, and also life planning for the survivors. And then the third part will be a community where they can share best practices, because these 5,000 nonprofits don't share things and they reinvent the wheel every day. So it's tremendously inefficient. So we're trying to raise the development dollars to develop that software. Now, today we provide free software that is our HR software from my for-profit business, Managed to Win. And so if any of those nonprofits need HR software to track benefits or compensation or set goals or do reviews, we provide that for them for free.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you guys, you started off, you've been running, so your main business, is that a software, your software provider or developer there?
We have an HRS, a software solution and employee performance management. I mainly do leadership consulting.
Okay.
So I teach people, particularly IT entrepreneurs that are strong technically or strong as salespeople, and they go out and start a business, and then they wonder, wow, why do I have to deal with all these people? They never learned how to hire people, how to manage them, how to develop them, and how to retain them. So that's my primary business, is consulting in that area, and then we have the software that comes along with it. So,
well, I know we have a lot of listeners from the IT industry that that, you know, this is an interesting topic coming from someone who works within the IT industry who's dealing with nonprofits. One of the things I think about as a business owner is, you know, I'm in business for, you know, this goal of marketing, but I know there's other great goals, like, for instance, Emancipate Me. I love your mission, and that's the type of nonprofit that I would just love to partner with and give to. And I'm sure there's a lot of business owners asking, you know, how can I understand how this nonprofit thing works better, and the potential of partnering with the nonprofit organization. So maybe that first question I have that you could kind of help me out with is, how does the non-profit start? I mean, how does that usually happen?
Well, so I'm not a nonprofit executive that's been doing this for 30 years or something. I've got too many years business experience. It's 42 years now. I used to think a 42-year-old guy was an old guy. Now I have all this business experience. Of course, I'm starting when I was 16 and started hauling stuff to the dump in my truck. But
yeah.
So, I mean, basically a nonprofit is typically formed because somebody has identified a need and they don't feel it's being met, and they want to go out and solve that need for someone else. So the for-profit business is formed typically because I want to go climb this mountain and I want to do this for me. And in the process, I'm going to help some people, but I may also become rich, you know, or at least I'm going to pay myself a living, whatever. The nonprofit area, speaking of the sincere people, which is the majority of people, I think, that go out and form these things, is they really want to go out and make a difference for others. And that's kind of the trade-off there. And so when you form a nonprofit, one of the fascinating things is you can form the nonprofit, you can get going for a period of time, and you can be voted out of it. Where your board can vote you out. You're not even involved anymore. They can take it in a totally different direction. That can't happen with your own company if you maintain a majority of stock.
Right. Yeah.
Nonprofits have no stock.
Yeah, that's of course. It's funny. When you said that earlier, that just kind of surprised me. I was like, oh yeah, you know, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think of. Even though you have a nonprofit, there's still these business expenses that you have to pay for. How do you deal with that in a nonprofit? At the end of the day, when there's no money left over. I mean, in one of the, I guess my experience in a nonprofit was, and I think you sort of started hitting on this earlier when we were talking, but we kind of wanted this fast growth. Like, you know, our business, we want to grow fast, you know, and I think that ended up kind of being the demise where maybe there's a different way of looking at the growth process of a nonprofit.
Well, and you may have fast growth. I mean, depending on what your needs are and what your connections are and what you can make happen.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily against fast growth, but You just have to be careful what you're focusing on and what you're going to do. There's just a difference in business. When you start to dive in a nonprofit, just like in a business, you know, you're working and then all of a sudden there's all these options. And if you get distracted off your core mission, that's where you have problems. The business issues, productivity, efficiency, utilization of people are a different challenge in nonprofit. When you have an employee, you can reprimand them, you can fire them, you can, you know, be a little bit more direct, hold them more accountable. Managing volunteers is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and what those expectations are. And the vast majority of nonprofits struggle in that area. Because they never learned on the business side how to do that well, and now they're trying to do it in the nonprofit area.
What do you think that comes down to? I mean, I guess you're right. It's kind of like you can hold that over the head of, hey, if you don't do the job, I'm going to let you go. You won't have a job anymore. But why do you think that is in a nonprofit?
Well, that breaks down? Well, I don't think that there's two things in the nonprofit. Well, there's maybe three. In a business, you typically have a job description. And what do you do with a job description? You use it to hire someone, and then you never look at it again.
Oh, man, I'm guilty, right?
Yeah.
So
a lot of my leadership consulting I do is defining what we call employee strategic plans, which are job descriptions on steroids. And they're basically a success plan or a business plan for each employee. So they're fully engaged. So everybody has clear, measurable goals. And separate of that, everybody has clear, somewhat measurable behaviors that are written down that the boss says to the employee, hey, here's what I expect from you. This is how I expect you to behave and you'll be great. And the employee gets to say to the boss, hey, boss, this is how I expect you to behave. So I'm enjoying my job and I'm going to give you everything I got. Now, that's missing in the business world for most people. And it's totally missing in the nonprofit world for most people because everybody just assumes we're on the same page. We're going to go out and save the world. But unless you write those things out and then you meet with them at least once a quarter to kind of confirm, are we on the same page? Are we meeting each other's expectations? And with the goals that are more results oriented, we recommend meeting once a week or every 2 weeks. I mean, these things just don't happen. And so the productivity isn't anywhere near it should be. So I worked with Mission Solano for 4 years in Fairfield. They house like 150 people full time.
Oh wow!
That are going through transition, and they use our strategic plans. And Ron Marlette over there, you know, their group, they're a reasonably good sized organization. It's been very helpful for them to get on the same page. When they started working with me, they had a thrift store. that was not doing well. The whole operation was a disaster, and we did some work. I made some recommendations. They took those to heart. They made changes. Now it's a very profitable enterprise for them. And it comes from getting the employees fully engaged, and those that can't become engaged, you get rid of them. And, you know, when you're talking about thrift store employees, you're talking about basically volunteers and people that are close to volunteers because they're being paid so little.
Oh, interesting.
So you've got to lay out these expectations. You know, it's funny. The most popular service I have right now in my for-profit business is what we call Certified Leader. And it's a six-month program. The website needs to be updated. It says 5 months, but when you add it all up, it's going to be 6 months. And we're signing up our next lot of people for our April class. But it runs 6 months. I train people as a group 1 week, and the next week I have one-on-one calls with everybody to implement, you know, have them. I say, okay, what are you going to take from that training, and what are you going to use? And let's look at the objectives you set and your boss set for what they want you to learn to become a leader, because all these people have been promoted into management. Some of them have been in management for 20 years, but they've never been trained on how to be a leader.
Wow.
You see, so they're in this program. They get one-on-one coaching, they get group training, you know, where they hear what everybody say, everybody's participating. And it's great. I've had 40% of the leaders, the bosses that put these people in the program say, hey, Dave, I don't know what you're doing in there, but I'm already seeing improvement.
Wow.
And that's great. But you think about it, it's the same problem at the nonprofit level, except a little bit different. In most cases, you got people with the best of intentions, but they're going to get caught up firefighting all the time because they don't understand the systems and processes that are behind effective leadership.
Yeah, you know, there's a movie that I watched over the weekend with Jim Caviezel in it. It's about a football team, actually, in the California area there.
Yeah.
When the Game Stands Tall. I don't know if you've watched
it.
It's
sitting in my mail bin at home from Netflix, and I'm sure it's fantastic, isn't it?
It's amazing, and it just reminds me a lot of what you're saying, because he has this – with intention building leaders, and you have this football team that for in essence many high school generations wins this streak of I think it was 155 games winning streak, 151 game winning streak, and what it came down to was this guy was instilling good behaviors into these football players and toward, you know, in leadership and things like that. And it kind of reminded me a little bit of what you were talking about. So
it's definitely the same type of thing. Yeah. I'm glad you reminded me.
Go watch that movie. This weekend. It's a good movie.
I had to pull out because we adopted four kids, and the 7-year-old boy is playing his first team sport, basketball, and, you know, grasping basketball from never playing a team sport. So I had to bring out Hoosiers and have him watch Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah. That's the best.
That was my
movie that
night for this weekend.
Oh, that's good. No, that's great. I would recommend this one, too.
Oh, good.
You know, there was this proverb, where there is no vision, the people perish. That kind of comes to mind.
Yep.
And so many times in leadership, you have people that – and we're going through this too, where, you know, you talk about a strategic plan for a new person that you hire, like a goal. And that's actually what really reminded me of the football movie, because Jim Caviezel sits down and he has them write down a goal that's attainable, not an unrealistic goal, but an attainable goal. And then he has them break down how many, you know, weights they're going to lift, you know, how much they're going to run, and all attainable type goals, and then they keep each other accountable for it.
Yeah, and but they stretch them too, right?
Yeah, they did, yeah. Right. They stretch them.
Yeah.
And it was just like eye-opening, you know, how much this, what, you know, that plan he was giving to his football players just totally applies to life. And we miss that in our businesses, right? And how that basic principle applies to the nonprofit, where technically, you know, this, you're not making money necessarily playing high school football, but you can't. I've done some short-term mission stuff, and I've seen stuff fall apart when not necessarily it wasn't people's desire not to do it, but it was there wasn't really clear goals given by leadership. So that's very interesting that you bring that all up.
Yeah, and let me add, just based on the words you just used, that the goals really aren't given by leadership. My guess is that in that movie, what he says is, okay, what do you want to do? And he has them come up with the goals, and he makes certain it stretches them, but is not too much. Because if they come up with the goals versus it coming down like Moses with the tablets, remember he broke the first set of tablets.
Oh, yeah, he did.
So he asked them come up with the goals because then they have ownership to achieve it. His role is to help them refine it. So it really applies to their strengths rather than their weaknesses, because you want to work on your strengths more than your weaknesses. You want to play to your strengths. And then his role is to hold them accountable by following up.
Yeah.
And that's a huge gap for leaders, is not following up. So I teach three strands of leadership. The first strand is systematic power. You got to be systematic. When I came to the realization I had leadership attributes but no skills, the difference was I wasn't systematic. I was Mr. Idea of the Week, you know?
Yeah.
So not first strand of three strands of leadership, you got to be systematic. Second thing is meaningful work. Well, in a nonprofit, that should be easy to get people engaged in meaningful work. And then the third thing is sincere gratitude. So you show people you really value them as a member of the team. One of those ways is the systematic power of how you follow up on those goals. Because if the coach, even on the football team, never follows up, start of the season, they write the goals, and then he never looks at them again until the end of the season. I mean, how many businesses have you been part of, Keith, you know, where your boss did that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've done it.
Yeah, so, that's right. And I have.
That's so funny.
So there's so many similarities between the nonprofit and then the for-profit world. You know,
that's why
you see the better nonprofits are run more like a business. They don't lose the meaningful work piece of why they're there, but so they can do the most for the cause they're trying to attack or serve or whatever. You know, they have business principles, business systems, business processes, and they hold people accountable.
Boy, that's fantastic stuff. I mean, I would encourage you listeners, take some time, after the show to really think about that. And if you get a chance, go watch that movie, When the Game Stands Tall, with Jim Caviezel. That was such a great movie. It was kind of funny. I got together in a men's conference over the weekend, and it was probably about 40 guys, and we all watched the movie. And it was just really impacting. It had some really good lessons in there. And, you make the point, David, about asking people to make their own goals. And there is a point that in the movie it shows him asking them to make their goals, and they come out with these three by five cards, and then they read off their goal, and then he says, now that's an example of a good goal. So he doesn't tell them, but he kind of makes that example come out of that group, which I think was really interesting thinking back on that in relation to what you just said.
Yeah, and when you're working with your team, whether it's profit or nonprofit, if you as an organization define your clear, measurable goals, and the way I teach it is you've got the organization and every individual has three goals. Yeah. One of them relates to financial objectives. One of them relates to professional development, and one of them relates to client experience. And you have no more than five metrics for each one of those, although sometimes we cheat and we do submetrics. So anybody can go out and achieve three goals with five metrics, okay?
Yeah.
And if you do that, and so then when you meet with your team, you say, hey, here are my goals. Here's what I'm responsible for our team. I want you to tell me what your goals should be based on my goals for the team. And here's the company's goals. Share that.
Yeah.
Share a guide on how to write goals. I mean, we give our clients guides on how to write goals that are clear and measurable, because I was working with one of the most well-known technical companies in the world and one of their divisions, and I had worked with their partners. They had hired me for 2 years to work with their President's Club members, about 100 companies a year. And one of their leaders sent me the goals that have been defined for her group, the goal. Say, what do you think of this goal? We're really excited about it. It said something like, we're going to provide our partners with the most incredible experience they've ever had. Wait a minute. That's not measurable.
Yeah, what?
How do you measure that? It's like, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Very non-defined.
We're off topic, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to say a couple things about nonprofits, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know whether you want me to dive into this now, but there's a couple things. So one of the things you have to do is remember when you're going to get involved in a nonprofit that first date environment of hiring goes on when they invite you to be on the board or they invite you to do something. So you're going to be probably a little bit more on your best behavior. They're definitely going to be on their best behavior. And when you get involved, you're going to see things that didn't come up during that time. So you do need to be careful as you get involved that you not only look at the good that the organization's doing, but you also pick up on where their weaknesses are and whether there's any people in the organization that maybe when you actually dive in a little bit deeper, you don't feel as comfortable with them. Sorry to say that.
No, yeah, that's good.
And then let me give you a nuance to that. So when I first, and I don't want to say anything that's offensive to any of your listeners, but when I first accepted Christ back in the late 70s, I read this book called God Owns My Business. And it was about this guy who had given 50% of his business to God. So basically 50% of the profits that came in, he gave away. And I thought, wow, I'd like to do that. Well, lo and behold, it got to be 2012, whatever. And I hadn't done anything. So I realized I wanted to do this. And I can tell you why I chose human trafficking if you want later. But so what I did was I owned 90% of Managed to Win. I had a partner, David Romig, he owned 10%. And I said, I want to do this, Dave. And if you don't want to participate, that's fine. I'll give it all my equity. But what do you want? You know, I want to let you know. He said, no, I'm in. I think this sounds great. So we donated 50% of the equity in Managed to Win to Emancipate Me. And what that means is they have an equity stake, and we also went further, and we said 50% of the profits from Managed to Win will go to Emancipate Me, which will kick in this year because we've, for tax reasons, operated Managed to Win at break-even basically up until now.
Yeah.
And so we have this weird nuance with ours that you don't find very often. But if you're talking about people who want to form a nonprofit, this is a consideration for them. I wanted to take 50% of my equity, and if we sell out someday or I die or whatever, that can go to this nonprofit. That's great. We also take 50% of the profits in the meantime. We also provide our software for free, and we also, Managed to Win does the development, the software development for Emancipate Me at $75 an hour, okay, which I'm sure you would agree is a very discounted rate for software development in the Western United States. Well, when we run into some people, I'd say 10%, they'll look at that arrangement that we have and they'll say, oh, you just did Emancipate Me to put money in your own pocket, Dave. I said, really? Where do you see that? It doesn't add up. And you know, I had one person that just scoffed at me and said, why don't you just give money to people working on the front lines? They don't understand the concept of trying to build a model that helps them raise money and get more money and save money and build efficiencies and all that that we've tried to build in. They don't understand what we've done, and it's relatively unique. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It does. Yeah, that does make sense. I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I've only heard of it done a few other times.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, nonprofits are a little different.
Yeah. And in your case, a way to realize a vision that you got after reading that book, it sounds like, and you know, realizing you could actually do it when you hadn't done it all the way up to 2012, there's just a little change that needed to happen. That's really neat to hear. It's good to think outside the box.
Well,
right?
I love thinking outside the box, and that's what it was. And so then I had to identify, and this may appeal to your audience, I had to identify, okay, what's a cause that I can get behind that's consistent with my Christian faith, but is not going to offend my clients that don't share that faith?
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I actually heard Ray Johnson at Bayside Church talk about human trafficking. And I talked to a friend of mine, Marcus Bigelow, who's a Convene leader. And he said, come on up. I want you to meet Scott Peterson, who at the time was involved with Courage Worldwide, which is an organization that had one home for rescued girls that had six girls in it. And they had 50 acres and they wanted to build 10 homes.
Yeah.
And he's moved on to another organization, Three Strands, which actually employs girls who have been rescued from trafficking to make garments and other things that they sell to give them jobs because they need jobs. Anyway, right. So I met with Scott at William Jessup University. And so early on in the conversation, he says, well, this is an issue no one can argue with. I mean, who's going to say, yeah, it's okay to rape kids? I said, okay, right. I like that. My clients probably won't be upset about that if I get behind that, right? And he talks a little longer, and he says that recently, and this was a few years ago, the FBI did a sting in the Sacramento area, and they rescued 250 girls from sex trafficking. Can you imagine that?
That's amazing.
Just in Sacramento.
Wow.
250 girls. And I said to him, wow, that's great. Problem is, he kept talking. Then he said, well, problem is, within 2 to 3 days, 98% of them were back on the street because there's no place to put them.
Yeah.
And I almost burst out crying. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah.
So we go through this conversation. I'm pretty much sold on the idea that, hey, this is our cause. And we get to the end, and I say, so you have six girls. Where are they from? He said, oh, two were picked up in Oakland, two were picked up in San Jose, and two were picked up in Novato. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I live in Novato. When I say I live in Novato, people think they misheard me and I live in Nevada.
Yeah.
People don't even know where it is.
I've never heard. Right.
Right? You didn't know where it is.
Yeah.
And he shrugged his shoulders and he said, well, I don't know where they lived, but they were picked up for being trafficked in your town.
Wow.
And I was like, that's it. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have adopted four young kids. They've been with us almost 4 years now. The youngest now, after almost 4 years, is six.
Yeah.
And then that's a girl, 7-year-old boy, 8-year-old girl, and 11-year-old girl.
Wow.
And, you know, these are the foster kids are over 50% of the kids trafficked in the U.S. It's a gang environment. They talk them into, hey, they pick up the outliers.
Yeah.
These pimps, these gang members are really sharp.
Yeah.
Don't ever think gang members are stupid.
Yeah.
They are very sharp manipulators. And they manipulate them in and then, you know, force them in. But anyway, so if you're going to start a nonprofit, I think that's great. Think about what is the cause you want to get behind and what is the unique contribution you want to make? Because if you really don't have something unique, why not join an existing nonprofit?
Good point.
And help them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, like the you're not quite there, but the Tahoma Rescue Mission up in your area, great organization, and they've got like 8,000 people who volunteer there every year. You know, I mean, maybe there's an organization where you can get behind and you can get involved, and you can serve for a little while, get a feel for it, and then stake out where you can really make a contribution.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Now, on that note, you know, we're kind of coming to the end of our show, but I want to ask you this question, David. What should you look for in a strong nonprofit that you want to partner with? What are some of the attributes?
Well, I mean,
suppose
first,
a healthy business is good.
Well,
but,
it's good. You're going to have to look at the main people. I mean, of course, you're going to look at the cause. So let's not talk about the cause, because you're going to choose whatever cause you want to get involved in.
Sure.
You've got to look at the people and what are their behaviors and get to know them before you commit. You know, you're going to pray about it, but you're also, you know, hanging out with them. You know, it's a simple thing. It's like when you hire somebody, one of the tests could be to take them out to lunch and see how they treat the server.
Yeah.
You know, how do these people follow up with you?
Yeah.
You know, that's a key thing. If they can't follow up with you when they're trying to get you involved, why do you think they're going to follow up with you when you are involved? And how do you think they follow up with people who are already part of their organization or whom they're serving.
Hmm.
You really have to look at the people and see that. You can look at the numbers. That's great. And it depends on what level you want to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, that you're going to have to take significantly higher evaluation, you know, careful evaluation, the more you want to get involved.
Yeah, and maybe it sounds like if it's a large organization, maybe you you start at a smaller level of volunteering, and then you get to know that leadership and kind of how the organization runs, which might open up opportunities in the future to become more involved if you think it's a stable, good organization potentially. Or
exactly. So do you remember the movie with Robert Redford, Brubaker?
Mm-mm, no.
Oh, God, you got to get Brubaker. Okay.
Okay.
So Brubaker is a true story. Yeah, I mean, sorry, I'm older than you. Brubaker is a true story of a guy who was appointed as a new warden to a prison in the South where there were concerns some bad things went on there.
Yeah.
And the way he enters the prison is as a prisoner in the bus. And he enters the prison and goes in for a few days as a prisoner to sense what's going on at the prison.
Hmm.
Rather than coming in at the top, he goes in at the bottom. So if you think about that, if you want to get involved with a nonprofit, and I think you should, I think it's great. And just because people are inept doesn't mean you necessarily shouldn't get involved. Depends what level you want to get. But if you go in and serve first, don't look to be served. Don't look to be seen as an expert. Go in and serve at a lower level, if not the lowest level. You're going to start hearing from other people about the organization, how good the organization is, what it's really like. Are these people gossiping? Are they, you know, what's going on? And you're going to get a sense for that organization by serving for 3 to 6 months. Much better than you're going to get from any financial documents.
Yeah. Oh, that's great points. Fantastic. Well, David, it's been great having you on the show. I mean, I know we've covered a lot of stuff here, and also to hear about the vision of Emancipate Me as well, and some of those statistics on trafficking, which are quite appalling. I think if you listeners want to learn some more, just go ahead and go to emancipateme.org, and you can learn more there. I'll go ahead and put that down in the description for you guys, so you can click on that link too. David, your other business, do you want to maybe talk about the service you provide there, and just where our listeners can go if they're looking for consultation as well?
Well, I mean, if you are a leader or you have leaders in your organization, managers, directors, executives, whatever, who want to be better leaders, our mission statement is no bad bosses. And so basically I teach systematic leadership to people so their employees are more productive, they're more profitable, and quite frankly, they're more personally fulfilled in what they do. And you know, we have some different ways to do that, coaching, consulting, soft skills courses, whatever. But I thank you for your time. And if I can answer any questions for you about nonprofits or, you know, my core expertise on the leadership side, more than happy to just be a sounding board if you want to reach out.
Perfect. It is okay for me to put your email in the description for our listeners too?
Oh, sure.
Okay, sure. I'll go ahead and do that then. And listeners out there, if you've liked this show, be sure to listen to some of our past shows, too. We have some great interviews with other industry professionals on topics relating to growing your business, to finances, and things along that nature. Just want to be a big help to you guys out there. Tune in and listen to other leaders' viewpoints on how they're successful in business. So be sure to tune in each week at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on cloudtalkradio.com. This is Keith Enix, hoping you have a wonderful week, and make sure you keep your business growing and your tools in the cloud. Thanks for listening in.
Thanks so much for listening to Cloud Talk Radio with your hosts, Robert J. Chandler and Keith Enix. Want to listen to past shows and stay up to date on new ones? Check them out online, cloudtalkradio.com. We'll see you next time.